Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induo Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Good afternoon. I am Dr. Induo Rampol Chidi. And this afternoon, I want to talk with you about the God of suddenly. The God from whom one touch is enough to completely change a situation. The God from whom one word is enough to cause a complete 180 degree turnaround in any situation. We first meet him in the pages of Genesis, where he's hovering over the waters. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. With one word from him, "Let there be light," there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness. The God of suddenly had completely changed complete darkness to introduce light with one word. In the book of Acts, we meet Saul on the way to Damascus, zealously planning to find believers in Christ that he could take prisoner. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul replied. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." He thereafter made 3 long missionary trips throughout the Roman Empire, planting churches, preaching the gospel, and ministering to Christians. He is believed to have written 13 of the 27 New Testament books. Again, we see one word from the God of suddenly, one encounter with the God of suddenly, and Paul changed from one of the most zealous persecutors of followers of Christ to one of the most zealous ambassadors for Christ. I have been blessed to have several encounters with the God of suddenly throughout my life. One of these I will share with you. I had been given a scholarship to study my master's degree in Scotland in petroleum law and policy. In the couple of months leading up to my departure for Scotland, I had been having a back pain which had been getting worse and worse. After a couple of days in Scotland, this pain got very bad. I could barely move. I recall trying to turn in the bed and being in such excruciating pain that I could barely do that. I knew that I could not travel back to Trinidad on my own in this condition, but neither could I attend university since I could barely walk. Painkillers and muscle relaxants mocked me, refusing to offer any real help. As I contemplated the possibility of having my family collect me in Scotland and wheel me back to Trinidad, all hope seemed to be lost. I prayed and I prayed, but seemingly found no reprieve. Then a few days later, I was lying in bed because that was all I could do. I was praying and watching Christian television. The God of suddenly showed up. Suddenly, my pain disappeared. It was there 1 second and gone the next. I slowly moved under bed to confirm this, and then I jumped to my feet and danced with all my strength and vigor in worship. One visit from the God of suddenly, and my situation changed from not being able to turn in the bed without pain to dancing like David danced. No discussion on the God of suddenly would be complete without the inclusion of one of my favorite Bible characters, Joseph. Along his way from the pit to the palace, he had several suddenlies. The most dramatic of these being when he was taken from prison because of his ability to interpret dreams and made governor of Egypt. We look at this story with some complacency because we have heard it so many times. But picture this. A man is taken out of jail for a sexual crime which he didn't commit, but nobody knows for sure, at least not in the public domain, and promptly made governor of the Central Bank of Trinidad and Tobago. Social media would be abuzz. Some Christians would come out in his defense while others would pull their judgment stick and beat him as hard as they can. Either way, sparks would fly. One visit, one word from the God of suddenly took Joseph from prisoner to power. Somebody listening to me needs to hear this today. All is not lost. You have looked at your circumstances, done an assessment of your situation, and it seems hopeless. But you have not factored in the God of suddenly. In one fell swoop, He can change everything you think cannot be changed. Just one word, just one touch from the God of suddenly is all it takes. In fact, there was a situation that happened recently where I was praying for a woman. And she had been sick for close to 2 months. While I was praying for her, I literally saw in my mind, I had my eyes closed, I saw a hand going into her stomach area and her organs, and a light emanating from it. And I knew that the hand of God was touching her. I knew her situation was turning around. That was a Thursday I prayed for her. By the Sunday, that woman was healed. Completely different person. And I had told her when I was praying that the healing is going to continue going through you. As you just go through the night, you sleep, God is going to keep healing you. And so said, so done, the God of suddenly came into her situation. There may be some listening to me who are saying, well, why did the God of suddenly not answer my prayers? I've been praying and praying and praying and praying. And He is suddenly not answering my prayers. So, Dr. Rampal Chidi, you can talk all you want about your God of suddenly. I have grown weary in prayer. There are many reasons why our prayers have not been answered. Don't let it affect your relationship with God. As we continue, I want to speak about a heart attitude of acceptance instead. When we hear about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refusing to worship the golden image and serve the gods of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar commanded that they were to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Their words in this situation sums up the attitude that every Christian should strive for. They said, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up." We see the heart attitude that we must emulate. We must acknowledge that the God of suddenly can change any situation in an instant. So we must look expectantly to Him, knowing that He loves and treasures us, and knowing that He is omnipotent and can transform any situation in an instant. But if He does not, yet will we trust Him. If He does not, yet will we refuse to bow down to unrighteousness and to the enemy. We are called to have the attitude of Paul in Philippians 4, where he states, "I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And the key to contentment is to release these things. Release things and to just accept when God gives you trials, when God allows you to go through certain things. Just accept it. Say, "God, you know why. This journey I have on earth is but a temporal thing. It's not forever. In eternity, it's not going to matter if I drove a BMW, a Benz, a Tesla, or an old Cortina. And God, I'm just choosing to be content in whatever state you have put me." And when we choose contentment, you wouldn't believe your blood pressure goes down. Your heart rate goes down. Your health improves. Your mental health improves. Your physical health improves. And then when the God of suddenly does show up in certain aspects of your life, you are so grateful for it because you weren't demanding and feeling entitled to it, but rather you were content in what you have. You were choosing to look at the blessings you have rather than what you don't have. And that's a heart position that is difficult for many to reach because we live in a materialistic society. We live in a society where people are always measuring. You know, people always want to say, well, you know, I went here for vacation and I went there for vacation. The fact is, no matter where you went for vacation, there's somebody who didn't have a vacation. And no matter what we have in life, there's always somebody who has more, there's somebody who has less. No matter how pretty we are, there's somebody who's less pretty, there's somebody who's more pretty. And that's why the key to contentment in Christ, learning in whatsoever state we are, therewith to be content, like Paul, that is one of the keys to Christian living. That is one of the keys to loving people, because you no longer see them as competition. I know people in the church who compete for ministry. Well, my ministry better than yours. 10 people get healed when my intercessors prayed, and your intercessors prayed and nothing happened. Come now, man. That's not what God called us to do. Don't compete with each other. Love each other. Be happy when your brother or your sister in Christ, when you see them growing, when you see another church growing. You know, don't be jealous of your congregation members if you see them prospering and want to know why God didn't prosper you the same way. I know pastors who have done that. I suffered from it myself at once. You ask yourself, why are we so competitive? Why? What does it matter in the end? And isn't it a credit to all of us when one of us succeeds? Isn't it a credit to the God of suddenly? Isn't it a testimony that we can use and that we can grow from? Can we not rejoice in each other's happiness? Can we not rejoice in the joy that other people have? God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. I recently heard a situation, this morning actually. Somebody had stole one of my friend's BMW. They had stolen it. Through a number of legal wranglings, they stole his BMW and, you know, left him without a vehicle. And just last week, 4 armed men broke into their house and stole one of their vehicles, stole all their jewelry and everything else they wanted from their house. Now, I don't take any joy or pleasure in this, but these things make us fear God more. When we realize how what you sow, you reap, comes back at you, we are filled with an awesome fear of God and understand, make sure whatever you plant is whatever you want to pick. You want peppers, sow peppers. You want avocados, sow avocado. You want goodness, kindness, love, peace, happiness. Bring these things to other people. Don't do unto people what you don't want to have done unto you. Because the reality is, God is watching. Let the fear of God guide all our actions. I have lived long enough on this earth to see that what you do to people comes back to you. So make sure if you want something to come back to you, you do it to other people. But if you don't, stop yourself. Stop yourself. Don't do things to hurt other people. Don't pull down, destroy, backbite, backstab, gossip, and hurt other people, because it is coming back to you. And that is the best advice I could give to any young people listening here today. In fact, to any young or old people listening to me today. So, sorry for that little segue. But in conclusion, we see that the God of suddenly can change any situation in our lives in an instant. But if your prayers are going unanswered, you should seek God to know why. And if necessary, make any changes He requires. If He chooses not to deliver you, chooses not to give you what you pray for, chooses not to say yes, still trust Him. Refuse to bow to unrighteousness. Be content in God in whatever situation He allows you to be in, trusting in His wisdom and His love for you, that He is your Father and He is looking over you with love.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induro Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.